My name is Betty. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am in recovery for addiction to food, and I am finding some victory there, and I'm struggling with relationships. If this is your first night at Celebrate Recovery, I want to encourage you. We have all sat here for the very first time. And when we walked through those doors back there, you might have felt just like I did. I felt like I had hit rock bottom. My life was spinning out of control, and I didn't know really how to help myself. I'd lived a long time thinking that if I could just somehow work harder or do more, I never would have guessed that I was beginning a journey and that that journey would prove to me that I didn't have to try so hard any longer. God had me right where He wanted me to be, and it was time for me to let Him have control. So give this program a chance, and you're in good hands. You'll find friends here. This is the 23rd lesson in a series of 25. We finally come to the very last principle and the last step in our journey to find healing. We have experienced miraculous progress and growth since starting this recovery program. We've stepped out of our denial and into God's grace. We've taken an honest spiritual inventory. We've worked on getting right with God, ourselves, and others. And we've grown in our relationship to Christ. And we've discovered a new way to live life. And we're finding serenity. Serenity like we have always sought. But the most exciting part is yet to come. Principle 8 is about giving back. In fact, that's your acronym tonight. It's GIVE. It's about giving back because we want to, not because we have to. We want to share with others why we are trapped, why we've been trapped in our hurts and hang-ups and habits, and we want to share the freedom and the victory that God has given us. Let's go ahead and let's read Principle 8 together. Walter's going to stick it up on the screen. Oh, there it is. Okay, let's read it together. Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. And the scripture verse, happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. And step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And Galatians 6:1, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Oops, I guess mine's different than yours. Okay, well, you just read and I'll listen. So, what is giving back all about? What does it truly mean to give? Well, first of all, Principle 8 doesn't ask us to give back in our old codependent relationships. That would lead us to relapse. We aren't supposed to give in unhealthy ways, ways that might really hurt us. No, now we're supposed to be able to give according to Principle 8. We are giving in a healthy, non-codependent giving of ourselves, giving freely without any expectation that we will receive anything in return. Matthew 10:8 sums it up in Principle 8. It says, freely you have received, freely give. Well, some of you may be thinking, I don't really have anything to offer anybody. You may have been so hurt and so damaged that you believe the lies the enemy has been whispering into your ear. You'll never get any better. How do you possibly think you could help anybody else? You're broken. Who are you kidding? All the king's horses and all the king's men could never put Humpty together again. Well, that's a nursery rhyme, but you get the idea. Well, I brought something with me tonight to maybe illustrate how you might feel about that. I have this potting table in my backyard, and it's where I keep my pots. So I had this pot back in the potting table. Some of you thought I was going to pull clothes out of there, didn't you? Oh, well, anyway. And from the outside, at least from this side, it looks really good. But if I turn it around, you can see it is not much good for anything. It's got lots of pieces here. I could probably try and put the pieces together, but you know what? It's kind of a mess. It's broken. And, you know, I remember feeling that way. In fact, in my last step study, I've been through two now. In my last step study, I remember confessing in my fifth step to my sponsor that I wasn't so sure I was really a good fit for Celebrate Recovery. The Lord was showing me and had helped me with my eating disorder, and I was discovering that the root of that disorder was triggered by failed relationships. I struggle relating to other people. I'm triggered by those things. I say and do the very things that I don't want to say and do. Thankfully, my sponsor said to me, "Well, you know what?" She said, "That's the beauty of Celebrate Recovery, because we are all broken. Every single one of us, just like this pot." Now, I want you to keep this image in your mind, and we're going to come back to it. The first letter, if you look at your acronym that's in your little folder, the first letter in your acronym is G, which stands for God First. As you learn to put your trust in God, you begin to see that everything you have is a gift from God. And hopefully, you're working on your gratitude cards, just like Bree showed us a couple weeks ago. She showed us how to do that. And in fact, we shouldn't be dependent upon our own material goods about what we're giving back. Not at all. Our giving back is built on our faith and our desire to follow Jesus Christ and his direction for our life. We become like him when we give. Not just money or things, but our very selves. And that's what Jesus did for us. He gave us the best thing of all. He gave us himself. Romans 8:32 says, "God did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things?" The second letter in your acronym is I. When we give, it becomes we. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but not a single one of the principles or the steps begins with the letter I. It's always we. And one of the most important aspects of your recovery is that it's not to be worked in isolation. This recovery journey needs to be traveled with others. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." That was Matthew 22:37-39. So who are your neighbors? Well, once you get this far in recovery, hopefully you've already been asked by someone to be an accountability partner. But you may get to the end of your step study and somebody might actually ask you to be a sponsor. Well, when that happens, don't say no when someone asks you to do that. Pray about it. And if God gives you the green light, then you should say yes. Why? Well, this is where that whole giving principle starts to get a little strange. You see, you can't outgive God. No matter how much you give, you can't outgive God. Now, at my house, it's really nice, and it's really nice to have my husband sit in the front row. That was really nice of him to come tonight. Yes, woohoo! And at our house, we have this system. Whoever cooks, and of course that's usually me, but whoever cooks, then the other person does most of the cleanup. I mean, we help each other. But there's one little part that my husband really doesn't like to do, and that's find the container to put the leftovers in. I mean, there's a whole little cupboard with the door and everything. You know, just walk right over a few paces, open the door, take out a container. But he doesn't trust himself, and I really don't have any great mathematical abilities, but I've got volume pretty well worked out when it comes to leftovers. And so I'm really good at finding just the very piece of Tupperware or Gladware or whatever it happens to be to take that leftover and stick it into the refrigerator. But this scripture verse, that's why I stuck that little story in there. This scripture verse reminds me of that whole process of putting away the leftovers because it has to do with giving. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Press down. You see, sometimes I haven't always gotten the volume right, and sometimes I've had to press down. Well, the rest of it says, press down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. Not a testimony, just saying. The amount you give will determine the amount that you get back. Luke 6:38. I remember just this past Monday, I was really having a kind of a tough time. A couple of months ago, the Lord laid an additional thing on my lap. I've been trying to eat healthy since I've been in recovery. But about 2 months ago, I really felt he was telling me that I needed to take sugar out of my diet altogether. So I'm 2 months sugar-free. Now, thank you. Thank you for that. But I'm sure there are some of you that think, big whoop, she doesn't even have a clue about alcohol or drugs or anything like that. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that the most recent research says that addiction to sugar is just as addictive as addiction to heroin. Can I hear an amen out there, sisters? Yeah. All right, okay. Well, that is true. And so my addiction to sugar is just as hard for me to let go of as your addictions to drugs and alcohol are to you or any other addiction that you might be struggling with. And so I was struggling with it just this past Monday night. But I've learned that when I'm struggling with something, I need to text my sponsor. So I texted my sponsor and I said, I'm struggling with this. But in the time in between, my sponsor got back to me, which is usually like that. I mean, really, she's really good about just getting right back to me. Both of my sponsors are like that. But anyway, in the time between the time that she got back to me, something else happened. One of my accountability partners texted me. Well, I really wanted something sweet really bad, but when she texted me, my focus shifted. My focus shifted to her and to her need. And as I began to work through, we're both trying to eat healthy, and so I was talking with her about the plan that we're both involved in. And before long, I didn't remember my craving anymore. And when my sponsor got back to me, I was able to share that with her, and she said something like, well, that's kind of how recovery works, which is true, which is really true. And there was another time, not too long ago, a different accountability partner texted, well, actually, she didn't text, she called. And it was one of those situations where I had someplace really important, I'm sure it was really important, someplace I had to go and I had to be, and this call was an interruption. It was an interruption. I needed to get going. I'm always running a little bit behind, and I knew I needed to get going. But as I listened to her begin to pour out her heart to me, something inside me said, you need to listen. You need to listen. You need to pray. You need to speak truth. And so I did. And you know, the amazing thing was that when I arrived in the parking lot of my destination, I remembered looking at my watch and thinking, oh my gosh, not only am I on time, I do not have to run into the building. And do you know why that happened? I think my big boss upstairs is amazing at the way he can bend time. I don't really know how long I was on the phone, but I know that that was a divine appointment and that it was meant for me to pay attention to. So it doesn't matter how much you give of yourself, it's always going to come back to you in some way, whether it's bending time or whatever happens. And you know something else. The other thing is that it might be me next time. It might be me that's the one who really needs to desperately talk to somebody and needs that person to give me their undivided attention. And there's a scripture verse that goes along with that. It's Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone, there's no one to help him. Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. That's how it works. I can't do this on my own. The third letter in your acronym stands for V, victories. Victories shared. God never, never, never wastes a hurt. He can take the broken pieces of our lives and he can use those very things to speak into other people's lives. One of the best ways for you to share your victories is to share them with the people that are in your small group. Now, I have to tell you, I know that small group is a safe place to vent, but sometimes I get a little annoyed because I don't hear enough in small group about the victories that are happening. And I think we need to get to the place where we're doing that a lot. I really do, because that's how you're going to help your brothers and sisters grow. Is you're going to show them what it is that you're learning. You know, in the book, Life's Healing Choices by John Baker, he suggests something. He suggests 3x5 cards. And I know you're going to think, Bree, these are just like, those are my cards. No, they're not. They're mine. These are my cards, and what he suggests that you do, he suggests that you take a 3x5 card, and regardless of what it is that you might be using for that time when you're spending time alone with God, he's going to speak to you. I cannot tell you the number of times I've been so amazed that I get exactly what I need from whatever the devotional is that I'm reading. I have one that I read that's specifically directed at my addiction. I have one that I read that I feel as though Jesus is speaking directly at me. And another one that puts Jesus into the context of hope for me every single day. And what he says that you do with that scripture that you have found, you write it on the front side of the card. And then on the back side of the card, you write what it was that impressed you about your recovery with that verse. Well, at the time that I wrote this, it happened to be not too far from July 5th. And so I just want to share with you what was on my card for July 5th. Be diligent in these matters. And what matters? The matters of my recovery. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourselves wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. You see, in my particular addiction, you can really see whether I'm in relapse or I'm making progress because my body will expand if I'm in relapse and will hopefully go back to normal when I'm not in relapse. That was 1 Timothy 4:15. And on the back of the card, this is what I wrote. I wrote, no allowances, no excuses. I have to put to death whatever belongs to my earthly nature, which is anything that sets itself up as an idol in my life. Idolatry, and I hope you can take this home tonight, idolatry is trying to get my needs met outside the will of God. Well, for me these days, certainly that would be anything that has sugar in it, but it also means a healthy food that I'm eating too much of that I know I don't really need because I ran to it instead of running to God. Last night, it was too much healthy granola. And, you know, I'm sorry I did that too. I'm sorry that I did that, but I'm learning that when that happens, you go right back to the Lord the next day and say you're sorry. I'm glad it wasn't sugar. I'm glad that's still sacred to me for now because I don't want to lose my sobriety. For me, every meal is an opportunity to use what I've learned in my own recovery to make a healthy choice. Now, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 encourages us to give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all trouble using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. I want to show you an image I'm going to have Walter put up on the screen. Now, this is what you call a rain catcher, and I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, but they're beautiful, and some people hang them off of the corner of their houses where their drain spout might go. And the thing that's neat about this is that the rain comes off the roof and it fills the top cup, and when the top cup gets filled, then it goes down to the next cup and the next cup and the next cup. Do you see where I'm going with this? God gives us stuff from above. It comes to us until we get filled up, and then it overflows from our lives and it goes to those that are around us. That's part of recovery. That's part of what we should be doing as we get to know our brothers and sisters and help them out. I want to tell you, I watch TV. I'm not ashamed to admit that. And thank you, Lord, you haven't asked me to give it up yet. But I watch a show that right now is in the off season. It's a show called Nurse Jackie, and it's on Showtime. Do I see any other Nurse Jackie fans? Thank you so much. I'm so glad that yahoo. I like Nurse Jackie, and I'm really drawn. I am drawn to all kinds of shows that have to do with recovery. Well, Nurse Jackie works in an emergency room, and you know what her addiction is? Her addiction is to pain medications. That's sort of like me if I had a job in a bakery, okay? That's what it would be like to live every single day surrounded by the things that you are addicted to. Well, Jackie got into recovery, and I followed her through her 12 steps, which she thought she could do by sitting down in one sitting. Those of you that have done the step studies, you catch how really ridiculous that is. But she sat down in one sitting for maybe like a week at a time with very little rest and very little food or anything else, and wrote out her answers to everything. That would be like us trying to go through all 4 books in 1 week. It just doesn't work like that. And I find myself yelling at the television screen, "You can't do it like that, Jackie." Well, because you know what I would really love to do? I would love to write myself into the script. And then I realize that's my other issue. That would be my codependency speaking. So I can't do that. But I desperately want her to know that she's got to quit pushing away from her everybody that's trying to help her. She's now in a terrible situation where she's more than likely, this is where they left us cliffhanging at the end of the season, that she's probably going to lose her license, and she's pushed away everybody that loves her. It just breaks my heart. I have learned, I'm sorry, but I get so caught up in these things. I'm a lifer here at Celebrate Recovery, and what has always gotten me into trouble is thinking that I can do it by myself. I can't begin to tell you how many pounds I have gained and lost over my lifetime. It's probably in the neighborhood of tons at this point, and you might not believe me, but I want to show you a picture. I want to show you a picture from my past. That's me. That's me. Still the same height that I am right now, a couple inches over 5 feet, but at my heaviest, weighing about 204 pounds. And when I see this picture, I realize how unhealthy I was, and I'm still just as short now, so it's still just as hard to hide. I mean, it doesn't matter how many polka dots you put on, you can't hide. You can try, but you can't hide. And not surprising, you may notice also that I'm clutching something that over the years has become a trigger for me. And for a long time, I used to have a picture on my refrigerator of a woman doing just that, hugging a big sheet cake, and it was dripping down off of her. And when I got into recovery, you know what I did with that picture? I threw it away. I threw it away because I realized I had to give it up. And I had to realize that there was something else. You know, the real damage wasn't on the outside that you see in that picture. The real damage was on the inside. And my obesity was a physical indication of a spiritual situation. Not everyone who is obese has a food addiction like I did. But you see, food can fill our stomachs, but never our souls. Possessions can fill our houses, but never our hearts. Sex can fill our nights, but never our hunger for love. Alcohol and drugs can numb the pain, but not restore and heal us. May all the glory go to God. My plan is to spend the rest of my life doing recovery work. I think that makes David happy. Anyway, I plan to keep doing recovery work. But it's not really a job to me. It's a service of joy. It's a service of joy that leads us to the last letter in our acronym, the letter E, example of your actions. Our actions speak louder than our words. Good intentions are just that, unless they're executed. In James 1:22, we're exhorted to be doers of the word. It's our love of God that prompts us to love others. This is the proof of our love for him. Giving and serving is the thermometer of our love. 1 John 3:18 says it this way, "My children, love must not be a matter of words or talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action." Now listen to this. It's possible to give without loving. That's what we do sometimes in codependent relationships. We may even feel some kind of obligation that we really have to serve. But you know what? You can't love without giving. Do you catch the difference? That reminds me of that woman who came to Jesus, who took the expensive jar of perfume. She knelt down at Jesus' feet, who was reclining at a table, and she broke that expensive jar. And because of what he had done for her, she wept over his feet and then took her own hair and wiped his feet and wiped the perfume off. You know, she was looked down on in that setting because of her extravagance. But do you know what Jesus said? Jesus said she would be remembered forever for what she had done for him. No matter what you have to give, you should give it. Remember the broken pot that I showed you at the beginning? Well, I have one more image that I want to show you. The Japanese have an art form in which they take pottery that is cracked and broken, and they fill those cracks with gold. That's gold. That's what God does with us. He takes our brokenness and he puts us back together. And even though we might be concerned sometimes about what we look like on the outside, it's a whole lot more important about what's on the inside. And God wants to make us beautiful servants who can be used to hold whatever it is that God is pouring into your life. So in closing, I would just like to remind us to be always giving out whatever it is that the Lord has given to you, and ask the Holy Spirit to live through you each and every day. Brighten up the world. Brighten up the world by reflecting Jesus and all that he's done for you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the healing work that you have worked in our lives. And Father, I pray for the person who might be sitting here tonight for the very first time and not even have a clue what they might possibly be about to start, just like we all were at one point. Lord, I just thank you that this is not the end. This is not the bottom. This is the beginning. This is the way up. This is the hope. This is the healing. And we just thank you and give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.